Take TPV Radio with you 24/7. Just download Live 365 app from your Apple or Google Play Store. Like us on Facebook at TPV Radio or www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go! You're listening to the hottest, most off-controversial, off-the-meters Christian radio station in the land. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk, family? Let's go!
At Majal's Products, we care for a better you with our handmade natural ingredients to give you healthier skin, body, and stronger hair. Like our face, foot, hair and body care products. To order yours today, please visit our website at www.majalsproducts.com or on Facebook at Majal's Products. Get yours today and get your faster results without breaking the bank.
You never heard Christian radio quite like this. Get your fix 24/7 on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Cover your cough or sneeze. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. And remember, you're safer at home. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by Live 365 and this station.
Sasa Vildir, Saka Fet, come start. That's right, TPV listeners. Jump up, jump up. This is your Caribbean pepper pot. From Barbados to Dominica, from our motherland Africa to France, Parlez-vous Francois, as we worship with music. Stay tuned for more of Nisa's Touch and be blessed.
coming a little closer to home. Will you see me praising the Lord, y'all? I'm just moving closer to my heavenly home.
In my father's house there's many mansions, but in my house there's a room that I have especially reserved for my Jesus. Hey,
there's a room in my house reserved for Jesus. Hey, there's a room in my house reserved for the Lord. Oh yes, he come as he please, and I never hear him leave. There's a room in my house reserved for the Lord.
Me, Satan, Salah, Razana.
Good afternoon, family and friends. Good afternoon, good afternoon. I need to know. I am having technical difficulty today, which the devil is so busy. Like, right now I'm just feeling down because my topic today was, what's the covenant of salt? I'm breaking down the meaning of us as human being the salt of the earth, you know, and this just put like a damper in what I was trying to do today. You know, they said we shouldn't let the devil get in our way and stuff, but with me already not feeling good today, and now this, the devil just trying to play on that, you know, I'll try not to let him win. But again, I've family and friends, salt in the Bible. The role of salt in the Bible is irrelevant to the understanding Hebrew society during the Old Testament and the New Testament period. Salt is a necessity of life, and was a mineral that was used since ancient time in many cultures as a seasoning, a preservative, and a disinfectant, a component of ceremonial offerings, and as a unit of exchange. The Bible contains, family and friends, numerous references to salt. In various contexts, it is used metaphorically to significant performance, loyalty, durability, fidelity, uselessness, value, and purification, family and friends. Those is just some of the things that describe what salt is in the Bible and where it came from, you know, during the Old Testament and the New Testament. Salt sources ancient Israel. The main source of salt in a region was the area of the Dead Sea, especially the massive salt cliff of Jabal Uthman. I know I'm pronouncing it wrong, but forgive me. About 7 miles, 11 kilometers long, the face of the ridge is constantly changing as weather interacts with it, with the rock of salt, family and friends. The Hebrew people harvested salt by pouring seawater into pits and letting the water evaporate out until only salt was left. The salt was the mineral for seasoning and as a preservative. Salt was used to disinfect wounds as well. Family and friends, the Old Testament, the faith of Lot's wife being turned into a pillar of salt is found in Genesis 19:26. This is the reason for the naming of the pillar on Mount Sodom, which is often called Lot's wife. So family and friends, see, we're breaking down a little bit here and a little bit there. So salt was cast on the burnt offering and was part of the incense. Part of the temple offering included salt. Salt was widely and verbally used as a symbol and is our sign in ancient Israel, family and friends. The New Testament, the salt and light passages in the Sermon on the Mountain make reference to salt. Matthew's account differs slightly from that of Luke and Mark. Matthew 5:13 refers to this disciple as the salt of the earth. This meaning is parallel in the following verse, Matthew 5:14, in the symbolism of the light of the world. Another view is that the salt and the light passages refer to a duality of roles in the disciples to be like a light of the city. Family and friends, what does salt mean spiritually? Salt symbolizes wisdom in the spiritual interpretations of dreams. This is the result of the spiritual insight which man accumulates during his existence and totally of his knowledge. Family and friends, I'm going to take a next short music break. Today is a very, very short day of the Caribbean Pepper Pot. And some of the stuff that I did went over, you know, like I said, I was having technical difficulties. The devil just busy. So I can come back and we're going to go over what is a salt covenant. So once again, family and friends, stay tuned and stay blessed. The devil just busy. He is busy today. So again, family and friends, stay tuned and stay blessed.
Hey, my God is good, yo.
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 Everything a double-double. Everything a double-double. Promotion double-double. Your money double-double. Your business double-double. Your health go double-double. Your children double-double. Your anointing double-double. Somebody scream! Hallelujah! In the morning when I wake up, I will sing my praise unto you, my Lord. I will shout, I will dance to you. You will give me health forever, ever. Hey, 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 yeah, 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 yeah.
double O. You're the leader and double O.
Double O.
You're worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. He's the worthy God. You are worthy, Lord. Hey, make your Holy Ghost praise tonight in the house. Come on, put your hands together. Hallelujah. Woo.
Sasa Vildir, Saka Fed, come and start. That's right, TPV listeners. Jump up, jump up. This is your Caribbean pepper pot. From Barbados to Dominica, from our motherland Africa to France, parlez-vous François, as we worship with music. Stay tuned for more of Nisa's Touch and be blessed.
Family and friends, I am back. I am back. I have some help. I called in my husband to help me. I really ain't feeling too hot today. So family and friends, I am so sorry. I just ain't here. I just ain't mentally here today. So I'm going to turn the show over to Pastor Christopher Newton, and he's going to finish up with you guys today. Keep me in your prayers. I just, you know, just ain't feeling it. I'm just under the weather. I tell him to come and help me, but I really ain't feeling it, family and friends. But I am so sorry. Catch me Tuesday on the Grub. That's at 1:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with my two co-hosts, Dion LeBrin and Pastor Gene Homer. I got it right. So, family and friends, here is your pastor, Pastor Christopher Newton.
What's good? What's good, family? It's kind of weird. I'm out of my element, but we're going to do what we do over here. Yeah, my wife is not feeling too well, so I'm just going to go ahead and pick up where she left off in regards to the salt covenant, where that came from, how we utilize the salt covenant in our unions and our marriage and things of that nature. Now, of course, it does derive from the scripture of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 1 through 2, and it says that the Levites had a very special inheritance from God. Now, Levitical priests, indeed, the whole tribe of Levi, are to have not atonement or inherit with Israel. They shall live on the food offerings presented to the Lord, for that is their inheritance. They shall have no inheritance among their fellow Israelites. The Lord is their inheritance, as he promised them. And the other tribes of Israel received a land inheritance in Canaan. The Levites received no land. Instead, the Levites were given certain cities within their own tribes and territories. Now, we hear about the Levitical law, Levitical priesthood, and a lot of that had derived in our churches on today. Yeah, especially with tithes and offerings. I mean, of course, we're about to probably get in trouble with that one, but it's okay. The Levitical priesthood, of course, these people were chosen by God. Now, it said an important thing here, and this is where the mix-up is when it comes to the covenant with God. He promised them and the other tribes of Israel that they received land inheritance in Canaan. Now, but the Levites received no land. Instead, the Levites were given certain cities within other tribes and territories. Now, the inheritance was God himself, in the sense that they were the chosen people or the chosen ones to oversee the worship of the entire nation of Israel. Now, the Levites were responsible for the tabernacle and things of that nature, which was read before break. Now, the priests were provided for their service. And of course,
In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 3 and 4 offers a similarity of the law's provision. Now, this is the share due to the priests for the people who sacrifice their bulls, shoulders, and things. Okay, this particular scripture you would need to write down. This is where a lot of the tithes and offering scriptures that we read, like Malachi 3 and so forth, come from. Now, the priests were given the sacrificial, the salt. They were the salt of the earth. So the explanation is found, of course, in Numbers 8, chapter 18, and I give the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving at the tent meeting. Now, this is where, again, the origination of the tithe and offering comes from. And I give to the Levites as their inheritance the tithes that Israel presents as an offering to the Lord. Now, for the tribe of Levi, or the Levites, this was a command given to them, those people in the bloodline. It was a salt covenant between those people. Now, the Levitical priesthood, which is what we kind of tiptoe around, was a salt covenant between God and the Levites. Those chosen people, they had to give these offerings, well, the different tribes had to give these offerings to the Levitical people. So this is why God had the inheritance uniquely for the Levites. And in modern day, we took that and we totally just blew it out the water. Now, if you are a bloodline Levite, you are under the salt covenant. Therefore, you are entitled to tithe. It's in the scripture. Read it. Just saying. So, of course, this is not about tithes and offerings, but I wanted to make the connection here because the salt covenant was between those people. So if you're in that lineage of the Levite and you are a bloodline Levite, then yes, you are in the salt covenant with God. Therefore, the Levites, all the tithes in Israel, I had to give to those people had to give their tithes and offerings to the Levite as an inheritance for the blood, the salt covenant that was given by God. So that's the quick version of that, but you can still read it for yourself. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 1 through 2, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 3 through 4, cross-reference that with Numbers 18, and of course, Numbers 18, verse 21, 23 through 24. And this will give you a clear indication of what that salt covenant was with the tribe of Levi. And that's where we got the inheritance of the tithes and offering, which in present day is what's going on in church. But if you read further, the tithe and offering is a love gift. We are not Levites, so we are not under the covenant. So being that we're not under the salt covenant, like the Levites were, we are obligated to give out of love, not of the covenant. That's why he calls it a love gift. That's why tithes and offerings have been blown out of proportion. But again, I'm not talking about that. So let's backtrack a little bit. What did Jesus truly mean about we are the salt of the earth? Think about it. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? That's a great question. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Well, there's this type of salt that is called accent. It has no taste to it, but yet people still buy it and still use it to salt their food. That's a perfect example of having salt losing its taste, putting it in context of today. We are the salt of the earth. So being that if we lose our salt, what does that mean? If we lose it, that means we're losing it based off our relationship with God. We're deeming our works higher than our relationship. There's a whole lot of different things. You being the salt of the earth, you are flavoring what God has left for us. The Great Commission is the call and the standard of all believers. We've developed this thing called pastors, bishops, and things like that. Nothing wrong with that. But all of us are salts of the earth. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar. Like I said this morning, you can be just somebody that's just coming to God. And if you just ask God for that salt for your life, he will give you the words that you need to preach anyone or anybody at a given time. See, we've cast this doubt of having accent, which is the bland salt we were talking about. We're putting the so-called flavor on the food, but when you taste it, there's nothing there. Why? We're giving a lot of empty seasoning. And when the salt doesn't have the taste, it doesn't give the flavor. Just like when you're giving wrong word, you're not giving the flavor or the true authenticity of what the word actually says. This is why we're in the positions we are in, family, because too many of us are sprinkling accent on our food. And when we get to the dinner table ready to eat, there's no flavor to it. Why? Because we're adding our own stuff to the mix. That's not what Christ wants for our life. He wants us to find him authentically, or as the young folks like to call it, keep it 100. We want to make sure that this God says who he says he is, which God, and this is what's so awesome about who God is when it comes to this text, because we're the ones that's losing the flavor. It ain't God. I don't think y'all heard me. We're the ones that's losing the flavor. It's not God. God's word has been the salt of this earth for generations and centuries. We, as we started getting so smart, we decide to add flavor or artificial colors to the word. Uh-oh. So now we're salting the earth with all this different kind of seasoning, but in all actuality, it's the salt. Ultimately, that's all you need. Just sprinkle some salt or some sea salt and you're good. We added to the mix. So therefore, does it make the food probably taste a little bit better? Maybe. Does it make the color of the salad look a lot brighter? Maybe. But we've added the artificial colorings and flavors to the word, and that's why we have a lot of confused folk out here. That's why we have a lot of people that don't understand who they are in God. God looks at all of us as the salt in the earth, as Matthew 5 and 13 reads. Salt of the earth is meaning, of course, from the dictionary.com, of course, salt of the earth means an individual or group considered as representatives of the best or noblest elements of society. That's what the Bible dictionary says. Now, of course, John Gill's explanation of the Bible explains this biblical phrase as the following. You are the salt of the earth. This is to be understood of the disciples and apostles of Christ, who might be compared to what? Salt, because they were given an order by Christ to bring to be fishers of men, the salt of the earth, bringing flavor to a dead world. This is where the word of God comes in and bringing in believers to come to Christ. Because in that day and time, it was Catholic rule. It was idolatry. It was a lot of stuff going on. The Romans was just cutting people's heads off, the whole nine yards. So the salt of the earth was the word of the Lord because of its savory doctrines they preached as all such as all such are, which are agreeable to the scriptures and are of the evangelical kind, which is full of Christ, serve to exalt who? Christ. And to magnify the grace of who? God. And are suitable to the experiences of the saints and are according to godliness to tend to promote it. Also, because of their savory lives and conversations whereby they recommended and gave sanction to the doctrines they preach, for the examples to the saints and checks upon wicked men. These were the salt of the earth, which is of the inhabitants of the earth, not of the land of Judea only, where they first lived and preached, but the whole world in which they were afterwards sent to preach the gospel, two by two. Matthew chapter 5 is a great example of what we're talking about. Read the chapter when you get the time about salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the what? Light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a what? Stand, and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5, chapter 5, 13 through 16. Now, salt is used as a preservant as well, to save meat and food from spoiling, as Jesus saves our souls from damnation and separation from God for sinning and falling from grace. I don't think you understood what I said. That was a powerful statement coming out of Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16. Salt is used as a preservant to save meat and food from spoiling, as Jesus saves our souls from damnation and separation from God for sinning and falling from grace. Now, Jesus is our mediator. He's our lawyer. He's the one that goes for bat for us. This word grace, which we abuse, all of us do at some point of our life. We are the salt to preserve and save souls and keep the word of God from spoiling. I don't think y'all caught that. Salt is used to preserve the saved meat, but the word of the Lord is the salt that saves souls. So we have to understand that as you grow in this thing, this relationship, not religion, not a ceremony you do, not something that you do every day, and that's that you check your list that you did things for God. It's a daily thing. Walking with Christ is a daily thing. That's why he separates us. The stuff that happens in our life is for a reason. There's a separation, and God wants to separate the things that are of this world out of us so we can be the salt, to save the souls, to be the light in this dark place. The light shines outward and brings visibility, just as the gospel does. It allows others to see the truth of Christ, not me, not Minister Shanice, not the awesome ministry team here at TPV, the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is for. It's to spread the truth of the gospel and salvation by faith. Now, how do you get saved? We had that, that question was raised this morning. If you missed the show, Saturday's Buffet, you might want to catch the replay on blogtalkradio.com/TPVradio or on our website, www.tpvradio.com. Ding, there you go. There's your plug. Let's go back to the word. So anyway, Jesus and salvation by faith. Now, the truth is, we cannot have faith. We cannot be the salt of the earth if we don't have a relationship with Christ. We've been saying this for the last year or so over here at TPV Radio. You have to have a relationship. We do a lot of things for muscle memory. We do a lot of things from what we were raised to do. We get so caught up in the rituals of stuff, like going to church, going, you know, singing on a praise team. If you're not a singer, you're an usher, or whatever you do, Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturdays, whatever you have your service, we get caught up in the works. That's the responsibility of the house that you work for. Uh-oh, I'm getting in trouble with that statement. But that's what it is. We're not salting the earth. We're salting the house that we go to. Uh-oh. This is why a lot of people are the way they are right now. This is why we have a lot of confusion in the church. That's why a lot of folks don't understand truly the power that they possess. You are more powerful than you actually think you are. Don't allow the ideologies of the world tell you that it's okay to do what you do, but you can still have your foot in the church, and then you can still do your own thing. Listen, what God does, he beats me up every single day. Am I perfect? By a long shot. But see, the problem is, family, we don't admit that we're not being assault. So when we don't admit it and put it to the forefront, we lose our flavor. Uh-oh, y'all didn't catch what I was saying. You lose your flavor when you don't admit to the fact that you have issues. This is the problem that's been stemming the church, and I didn't mean to stay on here this long, and I apologize to my wife when I'm done. But we have to understand that the salt that we are to this earth is good for our spiritual health, vital to our life, and to the souls that are listening. If you don't have blood, sweat, or tears in this thing that we call salvation, then you ain't doing it right. It's going to be hard sometimes. Sometimes it's going to be hard all the time. God wants his spot. Just like in anything that you do, if somebody comes up in your life and they're trying to take your spot, what's the first line of defense? Exactly, defense. You get defensive. So therefore, you're going to fight for what's yours. Jesus wants the same thing in our life. And I don't think people are catching this because of the fact that we got so caught up on the works and looking good on the outside that we're spoiled on the inside. Uh-oh. We lost our flavor from being the salt of the earth. Now we're becoming accents. Look up accent. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's a sort of non-flavored salt. That's what it is. You'll see it in all your local grocery stores. And taste it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But anyway, my point is this. We're sprinkling a whole lot of accents. It looks like we're giving you flavor, but there's no power. Uh-oh. So Jesus, during his remarkable and memorable Sermon on the Mount, he declared that believers were the what? Salt of the earth, and advised that it was possible. Uh-oh, I don't think y'all caught that. He advised that it was possible for them to lose their flavor. Now, if believers lost their flavor, this is what wow, thank you. What they would be no benefit to others. What does that mean? Well, just like what's going on right now. Let's think about it, family. Let's be real for a second. This is the Caribbean Pepper Pot for a reason. We just throw a whole bunch of stuff in the Caribbean Pepper Pot, put the different flavors in, let it cook and brew. You get the smells and the juices. But this is what I'm trying to say. If believers lost their faith, we are no benefit to anybody that's coming to Christ, because we've got so caught up in the last 25, 30 years on health and wealth, we haven't taught anybody to know how to sustain, to purify their salt, to be encouraged. Whether you have a degree on your wall or not, we don't really truly iron sharpen iron. We're too busy hating on each other. We're still segregated by denomination. We got a whole bunch of nonsense, and now that there's a shift in power, we got more stuff to deal with, and we don't have time to even get into that today. But what I'm saying is this, family, what is pure and what is going to change your life, your body is going to instantly reject it. Just like when you change your diet, you used to eating red meat, and you used to being a big girl or a big boy, and then you finally decide, I had enough, I need to change the way I eat. What happens to your body? Your body goes through a withdrawal. It goes through shock because you're not getting that the certain salts and meats and stuff that your body grown accustomed to. So you start losing your taste for that, and you start developing a new way of eating. This is how Jesus is when it comes to us being salts of the earth. We have to be purified to a point where we can be impactful. So it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how you were born. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what degree you have on your wall. If you ask God to give you favor in your life, he's going to remove the toxic waste that's hindering you from your call or purpose in this walk with Christ. Now listen, is it easy? No, especially if you put your work in on certain things. Is it easy to say, you know what, I got to give this up in order to give God the glory? It's not easy, family, and I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say, oh, it's easy, just give it to God. Yeah, you know what? You have to give it to God. That's an absolutely correct statement. You have to give it to God. But in the process of you giving it up, it's going to cost you something. And when it costs you something, it's going to hurt, right? So just like you go to the gym and you're trying to get your six-pack back, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you a change of diet. It's going to cost you a different way of doing things. And your body is not going to like it. You're going to be in pain and sore most of the time. You're not going to want to get up, all this stuff. So I'm bringing a natural element to this because I'm going somewhere with it. We have to recognize that for many years, salt has been used as an instrument to reduce corruption of meat and other foods so that it could be edible for a long period of time, right? Follow me here. Believers who obey God and do his will serve as a preservant for the human race and the earth by slowing down the morality and spiritual decay of the world around them. I don't think y'all caught me. That is powerful. You know how small salt is? Now, under a magnifying glass, it's huge. But salt is so little. And see, he makes other metaphors, like having faith of a mustard seed. You know how small that is? So, in other words, what God's trying to say, family, to you that is listening out there, we have to recognize it doesn't matter how big your salt is. Your salt is an instrument to reduce corruption of the soul and other things that come into your soul so it can be edible for a long period of time. So if I sit here and giving you a whole bunch of noise and just making you get goosebumps, then I'm not doing my job. My job is to correct, heal, and give you tools so you'll be able to use the word of God and make it plain in your life for a long period of time. So when you go through pain, when you go through life that we live, when you go through disappointments, hurt, anger, whatever it is, you have that preservant, which is the salt that was given unto you so you can be a salt in someone else's life. People don't like, we don't like as a people. We don't like being told what to do. It's just the human way of things. It's our flesh. We don't like it. But what God does, and this is why Jesus is so real in my life, because he looks at what's good in you. We look at the outward appearance. So if you don't look like you're blessed, or if you don't talk like you're blessed, then we automatically spew you out, but not Jesus. Jesus sees the salt in everyone, and he wants to take that little pebble of salt that's surrounded by all that mess that we put ourselves in this life. He wants to pull it out of all that, brush it off, add some of his Holy Ghost power and fire into it, replant it into you, and watch that salt cultivate and kill the infection that surrounds your relationship with God. The salt is a powerful additive. It's a preservant. So don't sit here and say not one time that I did so much mess that God can't forgive me. That's a lie from the pit, because I'm telling you, he takes people that were looked down upon, that don't have a clue of what this Christ stuff is, and he turns them around and cleans them up. I know too many people in my life that he's done that for. I've known people that were high school dropouts, and they sound more profound and more powerful than I do. I'm not hating, but I'm trying to make a point. The point is, God will take anyone and anybody, any situation, any circumstance, anything you're dealing with, and he will add salt to it. Why? Because salt preserves, salt kills the infection and the decay that's around you in your life. That's why the believer is supposed to be the salt of the earth. We've gotten so complacent with our mess that now we're mixing all these different preservatives and additives to it, and now we have this thing called mixed doctrine or false doctrines. You lose the purity and the originality of what God truly designed for his people to do. That's to go out and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We got so many false doctrines, mandates, doctrines, religions. We got denominations, all this stuff that watered down what the word says. All of these different religions came out of the word. Y'all need to do your homework and listen to me, because a lot of the principles that different religions have was pulled from the word of God. You don't have to believe me. Just read some of the text and then compare it to what the word of God says. And if you even want to go further, get a Hebrew Bible and get it that way, because that's the original text also. But see, that we're not doing theology today. So what I'm saying is this, family. Let your speech always be glorious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to ought to answer each person. This is in Corinthians 4 and 6. These are verses that you can write down to be salt in people's lives. Now, in some of our cases, some of us grew up with a lot of corruption, a lot of stuff. I got the t-shirt and the hat. And there are some times in my life when I talk to folks, sometimes they want to raise up and just go straight ham. But I got to remember that I'm a salt of the earth. And everything that I'm saying, I have to make sure I'm seasoning you with the word of God that's in context, not in Christ-text, in context of what the word is saying, and challenge you to read it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Get the word for yourself and read it. If you have any questions or concerns, we are here to help you. We say that on every broadcast. You can email us, tpvradio2020@gmail.com, or go to our Facebook page at TPV Radio and inbox us. We have no problems reaching out. We have a staff of different flavor of people that come from different walks of life that can salt you in your time and bring you back to Christ. We don't have to prove nothing to you. God will prove it. That's the type of God we serve. Mark 9 and 50, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another. Mark 9 and 50. That's another one here that this is telling us the good and the bad of when we water down the word. This is what happens. We lose peace with one another. We see that going on in our nation right now. Instead of us being sincere and being true to each other, we're hating each other, and there is no peace with one another because we've lost our flavor, because we didn't put God at the helm. And as you can see from our government to our churches, we are faltering because we put our own salt in the mix. And that's why now we're playing catch up, and we shouldn't be playing catch up as believers. We should have been ready for this time, ready for this day, raising up the end time warrior, raising up the people that don't know God to get them ready for the. It's going to be a spiritual battle, and God's going to come back for us, but we got to be ready. He ain't going to take your Bugatti. He ain't going to take your red bottom shoes. He's not going to take your mansion on a hill or your security team. You are the salt of the earth, and sometimes you got to lose some things in order for God to bless you. And even if he does bless you, family, we can't forget where we come from. But a lot of us do, and that's where we start losing our flavor. Leviticus 2 and 13, you shall season all your grain offerings with what? Salt. You shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God be missing from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. Wow. So if I put a if I put a bag of salt on the altar, I'm quite sure I'll be kicked out of the church. I'm just saying. But anyway, let me stop. Anyway, you see the significance and how much of a priority salt is in this text. Luke 14, 34, 35. Salt is good, but if salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either of the soil or of the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has an ear, let him hear. Uh-oh, I'm going to get in trouble with this one, babe, but I got to say this. We all have these two things on our head called ears, right? And the thing about the human condition is, and I'm learning this, and I thank God that he gives revelation the way he does. We hear so much stuff, right? But are we letting him hear what we are hearing? I don't think you follow me. When we're here, for example, I'll put me on blast again. If you're hearing everything that I'm saying to you, right? And if God isn't talking to your spirit, either one, convicting you, two, making you want to read the word to see if this psalmist voice guy is telling the truth, it should move you to let him hear. You hear what the word of God is saying, so then in turn, to apply it in your life, he who has an ear to hear, so you're hearing it, so let him hear. So when you're hearing it, you're supposed to automatically go to the word of God to see if it's in context. Once you do that, then that means you actually heard the word. What we do, we like to take a lot of notes and do a lot of nice, sophisticated things we learn in school or in high school. We write it all down, and then we put our human condition or our two cents, especially some of us who have degrees in theology. We want to put our own two cents in it. But one thing is perfectly clear. The word has been the salt for the last 2,000 plus years, and the word of God has never changed. Notice this, family, we have changed what the word of God has said by our positional leaders, our bishops, our popes, our apostles, all these people we put in these places, and we don't hear the voice of God. And we think that they're hearing a rhema word from God. In all actuality, they're just getting a breakdown from their own study of what they learned, and they think that's what God said. But in all actuality, everything that we preach and teach is supposed to be a salt in the earth. So if it cuts you, it's supposed to. When you put salt on a wound, it burns, right? Exactly. This is exactly what the word of God does, but most of us don't know how to sew it back up. We don't know. So then we just throwing salt in the wound, throwing salt in the wound, throwing salt in the wound. And eventually you can be like, yo, man, stop throwing salt in my wound. It hurts. This is what happens. Then that's called condemning, beating people down. We putting too much salt in their wounds instead of putting a little bit of salt at a time and guiding them to the truth. Because it's not my truth. It's God's truth. The truth shall set you free. God's word will set you free. Your relationship with Christ will set you free. Not me, not anybody, but your relationship with God will set you free and break the bondage of this human psyche we call a conscience. And we will start thinking more like Christ instead of thinking about how we feel. Because honestly, if it had anything to do with how I felt, family, I would not do what I do. And I'm being real. Because you have no idea what I physically go through, but what brings me joy and what gets me fired up is the fact that I have an opportunity to give God people the truth. And I don't think I'm the next big thing. I don't think I'm any of that, but it gives me that feeling that God is using a broken person like me, someone that wasn't qualified to do it, as they say, someone that didn't have it all together. I wasn't perfect by a long shot, and I still got a lot of work to do, but God works with me in stages, and it took a long time to get where I am right now, but I'm trying to prevent that from happening to you. You don't want to lose 20 years and then you're old and then you want to go ham and cheese and you can only go 25 miles an hour. But when you were young, you used to go 120. That's because you were younger, you weren't older, your body was, you know what I'm saying. But the fact is, it doesn't really matter how old you are. The fact of the matter is when you hear the voice, when you hear the word, and when you compare it to what he or she says, and if he or she is in context with what the word of God is saying, not by their own ideology and how they feel, what does the word say? This is where we need to be as believers. What does the word say? Not about my opinion. God doesn't care about our opinion. All he cares about is our relationship with him. And he wants to spend as much time as possible. So how can he do that? And he'll cause disruption in your life to get his attention. I'm just saying. Got the t-shirt, hat, MP3, download, Apple iTunes, all that. I got it. Because it took something serious in my life to get God's full attention. And it shouldn't take that. But again, as human beings, we try to outwit, outsmart, outthink, outdoctrinize, put laws in place, all the stuff that we're doing to try to be little G's. And look where it's getting us. Too many people are hurting. Too many people are losing their souls. Too many people are selling out because of the fact that God's word is too rough. Well, listen, we got to be warriors in this time. So you mean to tell me if somebody slaps you in your face, you won't go running and crying, right? Your flesh is going to automatically want to square up, right? Well, it says in the Bible, why would you even make that analogy, Psalmist? It says turn the other cheek. You're absolutely right. But what I'm trying to say is we tend to run from things that will heal us and help us. This is why the salt analogy and the salt covenant and what he has for us is so powerful. That's why the covenant of salt is forever before the Lord for you and for your offspring. And that's in Numbers 8, chapter 18, verse 19, if you have time to read it. So in the very beginning, in the first book, which is Genesis, on the 19th chapter, 26th verse, this is the most famous scripture of all time when it comes to the salt. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, the salt was an indication of Lot's wife looking back. This is the reason the naming of the pillar of salt on Mount Sodom, which is often called Lot's wife. Now, we've gotten so far-fetched in response to what the salt is. Yes, salt can also lose its taste as well. Because we look back too much and we realize that what am I losing? But I'm telling you, when you're doing things for God, there's a lot of things you're going to lose. And I hate to break it to you. I can't be nice and give you fluff and cotton candy. When it comes to things of Christ, you are going to lose some things. But God replaces it with things that's going to keep you strong and focused in the task at hand. It may look bleak now. It may look impossible now. But trust me, if you keep your focus on God and allow him to grow you in the spirit, I guarantee you he's going to make changes in your life, because he has to. He's not going to keep us in a situation and make us drown. He's not going to do that. That's how good God is. God will either remove the situation out of your life, or he'll remove you out the situation so he could be closer to you. That's the type of God we serve. But yet we want to put our 2 cents in it and get in the way, and then we want to look back and say, well, he did this for me and she did that for me and dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. You know how we do. And we look back like Lot's wife and we become pillars of salt. Why? Because we did not look forward. We constantly wanted to look back and see what we're losing. See, God didn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah as a loss. He needed to make a statement, and he wanted his people to trust him in the process. This is before Christ. God ain't play. See, we got it easy. God ain't play. He opened up earth, swallowed us up, and closed it back like it was no big thing. All throughout the Old Testament, God did not play. But he did have compassion for his people, and he did give his people so many chances, just like he does now, to get it right. And if we choose not to, it's not God's fault, but we quickly blame God for everything. Why? Because that's the human condition. That's the curse we've been given, being that we were born of sin, and we have to be redeemed and set free by the blood of the Lamb, which is the soul of the earth, which died and rose again for my knucklehead and yours, Jesus Christ. So salt has been a symbol of purity, perseverance. It has been disinfected. It's killed infections. I mean, there's so many multiple uses of salt in the natural, and we can put it in perspective in the spiritual, that the salt is the word that we speak, the word that we give to the people. We put salt on the wound. It's going to burn. It's going to be uncomfortable. That's what God's word does, family. We have to understand that our flesh is automatically going to renege and reject anything of God. We have to understand that in our mental. And once we understand that, then it could transfer to our heart, and we can have an ear to hear, because then we wouldn't sit here and get defensive anytime somebody checks our sin and checks it at the door. We wouldn't get mad at them. We'd be like, you know what? There's a reason why that man or woman of God is checking me on it. And if they're telling you in love and helping you get through your stuff, that's a person you would want to confide in as a spiritual friend, because they're helping you through your mess so you can stay focused on your quest. I don't think they heard me. Baby, I don't think they heard me, but they will help you with your mess so you can stay on your quest. That's what this whole thing's about. And the stronger you become in God, the more potent your salt will be, and you'll be able to cast an infection in anyone that comes around you. They will either be drawn to you by the God that comes out your mouth, or they'll run from you from the God that comes out your mouth, because one thing will lead to another. Because people will be drawn by what you say, but I tell people all the time, don't take my word for it. Read the word for yourself. Then if you have any questions, I have no problems breaking it down for you, because that's what a pastor's supposed to do. Just saying, don't just hang on every word that I say, and you have to believe everything that I say. No, you check me. That's what keeps me focused on the word. That's why I have to always have an ear to hear, because I don't want to think my will is bigger than God. I don't want to think my intellect's bigger than God. I want to continue to be used by God and say exactly what he wants me to say without compromise or feeling some kind of way. I do not apologize for what comes out of my mouth when God is talking, because I allow myself to be used by God to be a salt in a dead place. We are talking on the radio waves, and we're talking to a lot of dead things. But I guarantee you that the word of God is the salt that's going to take those dry bones and make them awake again. It's the word of God that's going to reawaken those things that have been dormant in your life. It's the word of God that's going to bring you closer to your destiny and your purpose. We got to understand one thing, family. We are the salt of the earth for a reason. God has chosen us for a reason. I don't care what your level of churchdom is. He can use the most unqualified people. We got to check the scripture. Revelations is coming to pass. I'm not here to scare nobody, but the word of God has been proven year in, year out. God is taking those people that were up top, and the last is starting to become first, because the last that's coming up will have no filter. They won't be so churched. They won't be all, you know, cosmetic'd up and all this, these cliches that come out their mouth 3, 5, 6, 7 times in one conversation. They're going to tell you straight how it is, how you can get right with God. This is how you can get right with God. Here's my number. If you need to talk to me, you need prayer, I'm here for you. Let's go to the next city. Let's get it in. Let's go. That's the type of saint God is looking for, because we're not going to have time for pity pat. It's time for us to be the salt of the earth. I know for a fact I don't have all the answers. That's why God brings a team to you. Because if I don't have the answer, I can pass you off to any qualified person in TBV Radio, and they can meet you where you are. All of us have tremendous testimonies. We all come from the muck and the mire. We were all told we were unqualified, but God. So don't let that stop you. Whatever's hanging you up, whatever's holding you back, don't let that stop you from what God has for your life. No, may everything may not be perfect in your eyes. Maybe everything you thought that you wanted to do is not come to pass because that's what you wanted to do. What does God want you to do? And what God has for you is way greater than what this world can offer you. I'm just saying, I did it. And it ain't no greater in the world, but it's greater here on the spiritual side of things, because I see God at work. It ain't my control. It ain't what I can do. It's not what I can manipulate, bamboozle. I see God in everything. And it ain't just the Summer's Voice show. Everybody on this ministry has a part to play, and we are stronger together than apart. That's what this whole thing's about. The more salt we gather together, the more wounds we can heal, the more preservation of the gospel we can preserve, and the truth will set you free. I'm just saying. So don't take my word for it. Go back to the word. Read it for yourself. Again, if you have any questions or concerns, we are here. You can go to our Facebook page at TPV Radio, the Psalmist Voice Radio Network.com. Leave a message in our inbox. You can also go to our website, www.tpvradionetwork.com. You can subscribe and get all of the shows that come on the air, everything that's going on TPV. Become one of our cousins, our Ace Bukuns. As one of our pastors say, this is your brother, your cousin, your nephew. Become a part of the family, because that's who we are, family. We don't just talk it, we be it, just saying. So I'm going to leave you with this, family. What does salt mean spiritually? This is going to bless somebody. Salt symbolizes wisdom in the spirit. Uh-oh. I don't think they caught that. I think I just need to pack up right now, because I don't think they got that. I don't think I got that. But I'll be obedient, God. I'll go ahead and just go ahead and read it, because I know you want them to get it. So, and it's blessing me. But anyway, here we go. So here's the meaning. What does salt mean spiritually? Let's do it again. Salt symbolizes wisdom in the spiritual interpretation of dreams. Wow. Salt symbolizes wisdom in the spiritual interpretation of dreams. This is the result of all the spiritual insights which man accumulates during his existence, the totality of his knowledge. So, if you are one of those people that see dreams, have spiritual interpretations, all that stuff, you've been through life. You've been through. So you can weed out the wheat from the tares, or the fake and the spiritual. You can weed it out. God uses salt in so many different facets. This is what I'm saying. The metaphor of salt is so powerful in this whole message that my wife started in regards to this particular passage. The salt, we are the salt of the earth. We have to understand that we are far more important than just, oh, I'm just a wife or I'm just a husband. You were called for a purpose. You were called for a certain kind of folk. You were called, maybe you were called to minister at your streets, in your streets. Maybe you were called to minister in your community. Everybody doesn't need to be a pastor to have a platform. You can be the salt of right where you are. And if God elevates you, then you know it's God that's elevating you. It ain't the people. It ain't all the folks that surround you, all that stuff. If God elevates you, you know that's God. We have to understand that there's symbolic references to salt that we cannot overlook. Salt is an important metaphor to use when it comes to making sure we are decent. This world is full of deception, chaos, false. We're merging scripture and man-made doctrines together, and then we're making it the word. No. What does the word of God say? The word of God goes against everything humanly doctored up. What are you saying? The salt of the earth, or the salt, using in the metaphor, the salt goes against anything that's impure, or it adds or purifies, or preserves a thing. That's what salt does. Now, if you're using the metaphor I used earlier, if you're using accent, accent ain't going to give you nothing. Just saying. So I'm going to put a lock in it right there. I'm done. I praise God that my wife gave me an opportunity to be a part of the Caribbean Pepper Pot on tonight. I pray that you were blessed. Go back and listen to all of our programming. If you're not part of the family, please subscribe to our Facebook page. Please subscribe to our website. I'll give it to you. It's facebook.com/TPV Radio, or you can go to our website, www.tpvradio.com. You can get all of everything TPV, and if you want to listen to all of our archived shows, it's all recorded on blogtalkradio.com/TPV Radio. You can hear us go all the way back on 2016 to current day. We've been on for 5 years, and we praise God for Block Talk Radio and allowing us to be here and be a part of the family for 5 years on one platform, and we thank God for what he's about to do. So family, I love you. Be blessed. And of course, it wouldn't be fitting if I don't play this, because my wife loves this song, and I don't really know where to even look to find it, but I'm going to find it. But anywho, family, just please pray, find God, be that salt of the earth. Don't let your situations hold you back. Don't let people tell you, oh, because of this or because of that, you'll never see God. That ain't true. God can save anybody. He can change anybody. So don't get caught up in that nonsense. You seek God. What does God tell you? And you roll with what God is telling you. Don't let people dictate your destiny. I got the t-shirt and the hat too, and I lost a lot of years listening to folk. Just saying. So let me see if I can find this real quick. And if I don't find it, I'm just going to just play something to get us out of here. And I don't see it, y'all. So I'm going to just go ahead and just play it because I can't seem to find it. Let me see. I think I did find it. Yeah, she likes to close out the song going old school. So, you know, here you go. So let's see. I know what the song is called, but I can't find it. There it is. I got it. All right, y'all. We satisfied with Jesus. It's your boy.
I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I am satisfied with Jesus in my heart. I am satisfied with Jesus. Lord, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I am satisfied with Jesus in my heart. Hey, yeah, you can't make me doubt him. No, you can't make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him in my heart. Oh, no, you can't make me doubt him. No, you can't make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him in my heart. Ooh, I got the love of Jesus. I got the love of Jesus. Oh, I got the love of Jesus in my heart. Oh, I got the love of Jesus. Hey, I got the love of Jesus. Hey, I got the love of Jesus in my heart. Oh, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I am satisfied with Jesus in my heart. Hey, yeah, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I am satisfied with Jesus. I am satisfied with Jesus in my heart. Yeah.
TPV Radio, Central Texas.